Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined by Craig Burley and Shaka Hislop. We also welcome to the programme Julian Laurent, and it's with Jules that we start with. Jules, who would have thought we'd be starting the show by discussing the possibility of Robert Lewandowski going to Manchester City? Where the blooming heck has this come from?
That's a good question, Dan. I mean, let's start with the Lewandowski side, if you want. You know that 2 years ago he changed agents to go with Pini Zahavi because he wanted, I think, a move, especially to Real Madrid, but to go abroad. I think he maybe felt that he had done everything that he could at Bayern Munich. They won everything. Since then, he's done even more at Bayern Munich, including beating that incredible record from Gerd Müller last season or this season that just finished. And maybe there's a feeling for Lewandowski that he's done it all, really, in the Bundesliga and with Bayern, that maybe with 2 years left on his contract, at 32 years of age, this is a good time for him to maybe get a move. There's a long way to go because I don't think Bayern will let him go at all. And if you're City, we know they're looking for a striker. We know that on their very amazing short list, there is Harry Kane, of course, probably Erling Haaland as well, and Robert Lewandowski. And Pep Guardiola and Lewandowski have worked together before, of course, at Bayern Munich, and maybe Pep would love to be reunited with him.
Well, if Bayern won't let him go, what's the point talking about it?
Well, Craig, it's the summer, summer, and it's the summer of transfer talk.
Is this another Antonio Conte to Tottenham?
Who knows how it might fall out? Maybe in the end he'll say, I don't want to play for you anymore,
Bayern. Well, that's what it would take, I would imagine. It would take a real tantrum, for lack of a better word, from Robert Lewandowski and his people to try and push Bayern Munich, who are unlikely to buckle and sell to one of their big European rivals, which City are. I find this, unless he does what I said, I don't think that's going to happen, do you?
I think Lewandowski and his camp welcomes the speculation. You've got 2 years left on your contract. Right now is the time you expect to start negotiating. He's soon to be, 33? So it makes sense that with this speculation, Bayern Munich either says we're going to let you go or we're going to renew, given that you've got 2 years left. Whichever way, it's a win-win for Lewandowski and his camp. I welcome it.
Is this a sign that Manchester City are waving the white flag on Harry Kane, Jules?
I don't think so. I think it's clever for them, regardless of how what kind of discussion that they had. Even it might just be between Pini Zahavi and Chiqui Begiristain, so that which means that this is like ground zero of a transfer negotiation, if you want. But still, it shows that they're not just on the idea of having Harry Kane or no one. It's just that they're out there, they're looking, they're discussing, talking to people. That could be Charlie Kane, Harry's brother. That could be Pini Zahavi for Lewandowski. It could be Mino Raiola for Erling Haaland. It could be someone else. But they're out there, and I think they're sussing it out, what they can do with who, how, for how much. All of that they have to take in consideration. It would be stupid for them to either just stay on Harry Kane or just do nothing. I think it's good when you just go out there and do a few phone calls, make yourself known, have the kind of discussions.
People think there's a ceiling, or people think there isn't a ceiling for Man City and some clubs, but there is. And maybe that ceiling will be pushed a bit higher because it's a striker. But if you remember back not too long ago, they bailed on the Harry Maguire transfer because it was just getting too silly, and they said, no, OK, we're desperate for some defenders, but we're not willing to meet that valuation, and so we're pulling out. And he went to Man United, obviously. And so there's a scenario where it'll just become these figures, whatever they are, will become too much. I would not expect silly figures for Robert Lewandowski, not because he's not the best number nine in the world, which he is, but because of his age.
Right.
And so that's a difficult scenario because he's got 2 years left in his deal. Bayern would want a substantial fee. That's just not going to happen for a guy who, as Shaq said, will be 33 in a couple of months' time. So Harry Kane's a more realistic option in terms of an age, but maybe not in terms of price.
The issue with City and that ceiling that you talk about is you look at PSG and the spending that they're doing. And as Jules puts it, financial fair play has been relaxed because of the pandemic. So now if clubs have money or owners want to put their own money, they aren't going to be held as strictly to those standards as previously. So now that somehow seems to mean, or people think it means, that if you're rich enough, if you've got an oil well in your back garden, as Abramovich or City seem to do, you can spend the 150 or 200 million or whatever it is and not fall afoul of financial fair play because of the relaxing. So therefore, if you're Spurs, you're thinking, well, let me hold out and see exactly how far I can push it.
But I tell you, you talk about, you know, throwing a tantrum. Bayern Munich's not a bad place to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
But if I was Harry Kane,
would that tantrum look, Craig?
I'd go home and I'd accumulate all the toys that my parents brought me as a kid, and I'd put them all in my pram, and I'd take the pram along and I'd throw them all out right in Daniel Levy's office. Yeah. Because, you know, it's now or never for him. And I think he needs to make that move. You know, Tottenham have got a new manager. They won't spend big. They'll potter along as they always do. Flatter to deceive. Flirt with a few people and say, yeah, we're going to do this. But ultimately, I think Harry Kane has to try and really, really push for this big
move. I kind of think we've seen Harry Kane's tantrum. Going on one interview and saying, yeah, it's time to move. I just can't.
No, he needs more than that.
He needs a toy.
Listen, I can show
Craig.
Him.
What he needs is Craig to come in and do his interviews for him.
I can show you what a tantrum's like in an office.
I can show you what a tantrum's like in an office
if you want to stir it.
OK, so we've got three strikers that have been linked to moves. You've got Lewandowski, you've got Harry Kane.
Oh, we've linked him.
Yes, shut up. And we've got Erling Haaland as well.
You blimped
that. The latest, of course, Abramovich apparently is going to go big on Haaland. Out of the three, is it most likely that Haaland would make the move?
I don't think so. I mean, we've said it before. We know that Chelsea as a club, and whether that's Peter Cech or Marina Granovskaya, I've spoken to Mino Raiola and to Alfie Haaland, and they know that this interest is concrete, that Chelsea are really keen on Erling Haaland. The thing is, in a year time, as we've explained many times on the show, there's this release clause for 75 million euros that will kick off. Borussia Dortmund saying, until next year, he's staying with us. We don't care about how much you can offer. He's not going anywhere right now. If you're Chelsea and if you have 150 million, tempt them. Go and put that money on the table and see what they do. They might reject it.
Yeah.
Haaland might put pressure to go and to leave and come to Chelsea. Or maybe you might get the players. And why would you wait if you want him now and if you can get him now? Why would you wait next season where, okay, you can get him for half the price, but then you know that many other clubs will be after him and it'd be far harder for you to get him. So if you're Chelsea and you really have that money, you've already started talking to his camp, go for it and make that big offer on the table and see what Borussia Dortmund do.
Should we talk about a deal that's actually been done, Craig? You like those?
Well, not really.
Tough. Well, that's what we're going to do now. Donnarumma is a PSG player, the player of Euro 2020, making that switch from Italy to France. Of course, at only 22 years of age, an exceptional CV and what potential he brings to the club as well. You take a look then at this PSG starting 11. Donnarumma will come in to replace Keylor Navas. Hakimi, of course, a new signing. Marquinhos will be partnered by Sergio Ramos now at the back. And then you've got Bernat, Verratti, Paredes, Wijnaldum, Di Maria, Neymar and Mbappe.
That's what good. Could possibly go wrong?
That's brilliant, isn't it? That's a really proper team.
It is, but I still see the lack of a natural goal scorer there.
Right.
And that can be in itself a problem. But Verratti had a great Euros. We know what Wijnaldum brings from the middle of the park when he's in form. We know how talented the rest of them are, and obviously they've solidified now. They had a good, very good goalkeeper. They've got one equally as good, if not better, in Donnarumma, and a big presence there, particularly with the defensive aspect of cross balls and set pieces, where he's a more commanding keeper than Keylor Navas. Very good shot stopper, but he doesn't have the presence of Donnarumma. The only thing I can see being a problem here is keeping that
the personalities,
keeping all those personalities in harmony in the dressing room. We've never said that about PSG before.
No, we haven't, Jules. And I suppose if you were to be cynical like Mr. Burley, you would say, well, why will things change this year? You may have some more quality in there, but you still have those big personalities.
That's true. Oh, by the way, Craig, Kylian Mbappe only scored 42 goals last season for PSG. But I'm
on. Well, to be honest, Jules, I think I'd be but one behind him in the league on, to be quite honest.
You're probably true. But, and you it's not being too cynical, Dan, as you're right. The question is fair. And also, Donnarumma is a great signing, especially as a agent, if you want. But the problem is, we've seen before in many clubs, and especially big clubs, that two top goalkeepers rarely works. I don't know what Pochettino will do. I'm being told that Navas for now, I mean, Donnarumma is going away on holidays anyway, so Navas will start the season. What happens then? You bring Donnarumma in, does one play the Champions League, the other one plays the league, and someone plays the French Cup. And I don't think that's going to be easy. And that could be problems. There could be troubles there. And then you're right. And then he's keeping those egos together. He's keeping the balance of the team. He's keeping that team spirit together. I do think that Pochettino, having been there 6 months now, now he has a full preseason. These are the signings that he wanted. Wijnaldum, Sergio Ramos, Donnarumma. Not so much Donnarumma, Hakimi certainly. So this is more the team that he wanted, shaping it the way he wants it. And I trust him, and I want to believe in him and his ability of creating that team spirit where all those egos can actually live together in the same dressing room and making this a successful season.
What happened to his tantrum?
Which one?
Pochettino.
Yeah, that's gone quiet now, isn't
well,
it?
Well, he had a strop at the end of the year, didn't he?
Yes.
So it's not just the players. I mean,
everyone's having a
even
strop.
Even the manager can have a strop. It must be something in the air in Paris when they go there. But listen, good manager, very good manager, great side. I was sort of being flippant somewhat about Ligue 1 to a sense, but the big thing for them is not that league, even though it was Lille that won it last year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it's the Champions League. We all know that. And, you know, that could be the difference. There should be no excuses apart from that fact I said. These, you know, Mbappe is a, you know, guy that floats around, and you know they brought Icardi in at some point to be a guy that would get the goals. He'd never quite looked fit and didn't play enough. But really, in terms of talent, wow! I mean, it's going to be hard to manage them. But on the European stage, which is where PSG are really judged, you know, there's going to be a lot of pressure now on Pochettino because of that squad.
I think with the new signings, it in a sense, and certain exceptions that I'll get to, it becomes a little bit easier to manage because you don't have some of those stalwarts who've been there for some time and then all of a sudden find themselves starved of playing time. If you sign for PSG now, you kind of know what you're getting into.
Right.
I think the challenge with PSG this season, as it has been for the last few, is around Mbappe and him not wanting to sign a contract. We see how that goes. Neymar and who continues to be I think take things a little bit too lightly and doesn't is a little bit too showboaty.
He's got a new haircut, Shane.
Well,
it's very
good for him. That being said, his performances for Brazil in the Copa America, or being a losing effort, I thought was the most mature I've seen of Neymar in quite some time. So maybe that translates to his form to PSG. But that's still a balancing act with that front three. That being said, you get the best out of that front three. Natural strike or not, you've got goals.
Jules, just quickly, because Craig mentioned it, you know, this is a silly season. We're obviously talking, speculating, hypotheticals. But there seems to be a genuine divide now between the haves, and I'm talking Chelsea, PSG, Manchester City, and the have-nots, in the sense that you look at a team like Liverpool, who have had so much success over the last 2 or 3 years, they don't have that financial stability to go head-to-head, have they, with these teams in these big transfers. And that can only cause a gulf between these sides.
That's right. That's a very good point, Dan. And you can easily see the way the ownership of Chelsea, PSG and Man City is built compared to, you know, other clubs like Liverpool, for example. And even to a certain extent, it's a bit different by Manchester United, although I think they will invest heavily this summer. They already have with Jadon Sancho. And I think Rafael Varane is next and others too. But yeah, you're right. It's a very good point. It's a summer where financial fair play is non-existent. It will still be there in the future, but in a very different way. And I'm not sure how exactly what kind of intent with it, but certainly not the intent that it used to be 5 or 6 years ago. So this is the summer, though. If you're Chelsea, PSG and City, this is the summer to go for it. I don't care what Pep Guardiola says. I think he can afford a £100 million striker if he wants to. And I think if they can, because they don't have another opportunity like this to do it again. And certainly there will be a point where the money won't be there anymore, even for them to spend.
See, I don't agree with what you just said there.
Why?
Because you said it's the haves and the have-nots, and you pointed to Liverpool.
Yep.
I think Liverpool have the funds to spend.
They don't.
I don't think
they don't. They don't.
No.
I don't think they do.
Tell me why. I'll tell you why.
Okay. They don't have the cash flow.
Well, no, I'll tell you why. The ownership don't want to spend.
Okay,
right. But that's the difference.
Yes.
Right, that's the difference.
But there's been no suggestion that they are going to spend, is there?
Right, you're changing tact. But you're right.
I understand what you're saying.
What I'm saying is...
Well, Arsenal could spend... They could match it, but obviously the ownership and the model is very different. That's fair.
Well, their model is... Liverpool's model... They did make a splash a couple of years ago. But they got the big money for Coutinho. So there was somewhat negated when they got Alisson and Van Dijk and one or two others. But now, I personally think they've got the wherewithal to go and match it, but they have a much more prudent ownership. Now, that's frustrating for the manager. We saw it last year when he wanted to go out and replace centre-halves and stuff, and there was a lot of prudency within that camp and frustration. But I do feel, as a club, they have got the funds if the ownership wanted to spend. But with the new build around the stadium and the pandemic, they made a decision. Mm-hmm. And I think Klopp was quite clear in terms of what he was told. And I think there is a difference between not having the ability to spend it and not having the desire to go down a different business model route. And I think that's Liverpool.
I don't think Liverpool have that money to spend. If they want to spend, they have to raise it, either through selling players or through some financial scheme.
Well, raising bonds. Chelsea don't have the cash. It's the owner has the cash.
Right, the owner.
So the Fenway Sports Group and their investors, I think if they wanted... can find the money, but they don't want to do that.
Well, fair enough. Give them some of the investors. Yes, they can find the money, but it's, but they're not going to.
They're not willing.
No, nobody's going to match Chelsea's. If they decided they wanted Haaland, nobody's going to table a bid of 150 to challenge Chelsea. They're just not going to do it. They're going to have to try to raise it through some of the financial scheme, as I say, either selling of bonds in the future or however that works. But nobody is going to dip in their pocket and say, here you go. Pay me back in 10 years' time.
No club has really the money to go and spend. It's dependent on ownership.
Yep.
You know, Chelsea Football Club all these years could not go and spend the type of money that they are. Ownership is doing that. Investment is doing that, if you want to call it that. So none of these clubs, PSG, none of them have the finances without the rich sugar daddy to go and spend it. And that's the difference in some people's business models.
Just a reminder, check out our YouTube channel. Plenty of video content over there. Be sure to subscribe as well. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's electricebikes.com.
As we reported on yesterday's show, Messi on the brink of signing a new deal with Barcelona. It'll be 5 years. He'd take a pay cut of up to 50%. Craig, I know you don't look at your notifications on Twitter, but fear not, I look at my notifications in which people decide that I need some sort of conduit between their questions and you.
Oh, why, what have I done?
They want to know whether or not Messi's bottling it. A lot of people asked me yesterday, ask Craig if they think Messi is bottling it by staying at Barcelona, staying somewhere comfortable instead of going elsewhere and proving he can do it outside of La Liga and outside of his Catalan bubble.
No, that's just stupid. Messi's been able to do it wherever he wanted. Albeit, I don't think the clamour for him is quite now what it would have been three or four years ago, particularly because of age and, you know, the performances of...
Those numbers every time.
Yeah. I mean, it seemed made up, right?
it's like it's a typo.
Look, I don't think... I don't think there was anybody out there willing to pay the ridiculous wages at this point in his career. And what I don't understand here, and maybe there's a reason for it, apart from football or on-field, is where the five-year deal comes along.
Right.
Because that's going to take him to almost 40.
Yeah.
What the hell use is he going to be at that point on still astronomical wages, albeit 50% of what he's earning now, which is through the roof? So, I mean, I don't see where the 5 years coming in, to be honest. Because you show me a 39-year-old footballer.
Right.
38 or 39-year-old footballer that's still able to do. I mean, Ronaldo's, what, 36?
Right.
39?
But I think, am I right in saying, Jules, this kind of to help Barcelona to fiddle the numbers a little bit? That really it's 2 years, but you spread it over the five? Is that right?
Yes, that's exactly right. And that's the two years before I think he moves to MLS. This is certainly the idea, very much 2 years and then goes to Miami and to MLS. And then you spread the wages of those 2 years, which are very similar to the ones that he has now, over 5 years. There's different clauses in the contract for him to be able to go to MLS. Also for that contract to be terminated, there's all sorts, and that's why there's still a few details to be ironed out in the contract. But yeah, this is pretty much the idea. It's actually a 2 year deal that you've spread over five, but it's mostly the next 2 years that are important.
What are we talking about? It's a 2 year deal spread over five.
Yes, yeah, because obviously the salary cap means that you can't give him that amount of money within a two-year period. However, if you get him to sign a contract for 5 years, then he'll get that money over a five-year period.
Even if he leaves in 2 years?
I believe so, Jules, yeah. That's correct, yeah?
They will find an agreement, yeah.
Wow. Anyway.
So, I mean, this club is quite frankly, I don't know. I mean, it has no morals when it comes to anything like this. When we go back to Martin Braithwaite,
Leganés. We haven't mentioned Leganés for a while.
This is a club that did not have and does not have, we believe, the proverbial pot to do what you know what.
Yep.
And yet it's still, I mean, I don't know, honestly. Them and Real Madrid.
On that point, of course, this is a team that is just so top-heavy when it comes to attackers. And Antoine Griezmann, of course, be highlighted as someone that they would very much like to get off their wage bill. And suggestions, Jules, continue that he could be going back to Atleti, Saúl, meanwhile, going to Barcelona.
That's right. And again, this is a very similar deal to, if you remember, the Miralem Pjanic Arthur deal between Juventus and Barcelona, which is completely legal, we have to say that. Although it sounds a bit dodgy because you basically swap players with a lot of money. They're two different transfers, but you swap them, you inflate the price of those players because that can boost your books, basically, and your accounts. And that's why the Pjanic and Arthur deal was made. It was not because Barca was suddenly going to play Pjanic, and actually he never played, but it was purely made in an economical sense for the account to bring money into the club because it's all to do with amortization. Obviously, when you buy a player, you spread the cost of that player over the length of his contract. But if you sell him after 1 year, and if you sell him at a good price, you can make money and make profit over that player compared to if you waited the end of his contract, for example. And that's exactly what would happen with Griezmann and Saúl. Griezmann and Saúl not earning the same amount of money at all. Griezmann earning three times what Saúl earns. But if you put the right figures, this could work well for both clubs. Barcelona would actually make money on someone that they bought for 120 million 2 years ago and they had to pay that money cash in one installment. And it would be the same for Atletico Madrid, who don't really play Saúl so much anymore and yet will find themselves benefiting and profiting from that swap with Griezmann, which is quite remarkable, you have to say.
Does Griezmann want to go, Jules?
I think he can feel that he's not welcome anymore at the club. He knows that they have to cut the wage bill. Let's not forget that he earns 36 million gross a year, which is around 800,000 a week, which is a lot of money for someone who's 30 and who hasn't had two very good seasons, let's be honest. And we're still not sure how he really fits with Lionel Messi in that game. And then add Sergio Aguero, add Memphis Depay. And you can clearly see that if there's one that they can open the door for sale, it's him. And I think he would be probably very happy to go back to Diego Simeone, to go back to Atletico. I think his family would probably be very happy too. So it ticks a lot of the boxes for him. I still find it really strange for him to almost give up that way and just go back to what works before for him and doesn't try to be a success at Barcelona.
No wonder this club's got no money.
Exactly.
No wonder this
Goodness
club's
got
money. Is anybody in Spain going to do a straight deal here?
I know, it's crazy. No,
I mean, seriously.
Not
Real Madrid, you got that president out trying to do the Super League a few months ago. I can't even remember the timeline now because of his desperation.
Yeah.
And now we have the most... I'm not going to say it's not corrupt. We now have the most difficulty woven deals that are just anything completely opposite of a straight transfer just to try and get the books looking half decent to get it over the line. I mean... Boy,
it's almost worrying that Barcelona are going to post a profit from it. I'm afraid of Barcelona and what they will do with a profit, with any kind of money in their pocket, given some of the decisions they've made.
They're by some magic beans.
Listen, Griezmann, Atletico Madrid, incredible player. You right? If we discount how he's been at Barcelona, incredible. But 120 million cash and between 700 and 800 grand a week is beyond ridiculous. For somebody unproven in your team, when you know he's going to play second fiddle by a long way to Lionel Messi, when you've already been burnt by players like Philippe Coutinho, at some point, somebody has to use some kind of common sense in how they manage their finances. It cannot be we are just going to spend this ridiculous amount of money and then throw a Super League at somebody at football at some point in the future. That's nonsensical for who you have to assume are intelligent businessmen and businesswomen who've made a lot of money doing business, yet somehow made the most ridiculous footballing decisions I think the game has seen.
So I've actually got to get my head around this. So even if Messi leaves in 2 years, they're going to continue to pay him. And they think that's a good deal just to get it over the line at the moment. So if he comes to Miami in a couple of years' time, right, he's going to get the bunce off Miami and still be getting paid by Barcelona, even though he's not going to be playing for them. He's going to be 36, he'll be over here in Miami Beach, all the usual suspects will be out excited about it when he's really here on a semi-retirement. This whole thing just stinks.
Let's talk about the football aspect of it all, shall we? You take a look at Barca's potential starting 11, as Jules mentioned, Aguero there, Depay as well. Pedri, of course, had an awesome Euros, very much caught the attention of the world.
Well, hold on. Busquets, legs are running out.
Yeah.
Aguero, wrong stage of his career.
Yep.
Messi, wrong stage of his career.
Yes.
Obviously, the two younger players and De Jong and Pedri, who was fantastic at the Euros. Pique is an Alba, aren't young. Dest is young. So it's a little bit of a mix. Depay, you know, Depay's a strange one because he resurrected his career in France. There's no doubt about it. And maybe the move to Man United was just too early. I don't know. I don't know what the reasons were. Wasn't the right scenario, wasn't the right teammates, wasn't the right manager, whatever. But he's yet to prove that he can go back into a club of this stature like he did at Old Trafford. Slightly different scenario. But can he take that form that we've seen in the last, three or four years or whatever it's been? Can he take that to Barcelona and repeat that? At Man United, he couldn't do it. In France, he could. So that's still a little bit up in the air.
This very well may be the kiss of death, but I really like Depay as a player. I think his issues before has been of his own making. His ego has got in his own way.
Right.
You saw that at Manchester United. And he found his own, found a level in France where he excelled. At least he was
the main man where he was.
Right. But at least you knew, walking into that dressing room, his ego is cannot play a part. His ego cannot overtake his ability in that dressing room. So I'm hoping for the best for Memphis Depay. Again, I hope that's not the kiss of death on him.
Is it the kiss of death, Jules?
I mean, it's... what I find fascinating, we've put this 11 together, but there's also Ansu Fati that at some point will come back. There's Ousmane Dembele who will come back. You could even play just De Jong and Pedri in midfield, I think. And there's Ilaic and there's Saul Niguez that's going to come in too. So they will have a lot of options. They played with the back three for most of the second part of last season as well. So you could you could change a lot of things. But for Memphis, for sure, this is a huge task ahead, huge challenge. Of course, we know he knows Koeman well, and they did very good things together with Haaland. But Koeman is there for one season more, and I think after that, that's it. So what's going to happen to Memphis Depay? He's still young enough. Can he play with Messi? I'm not sure that the movement from Depay complements the ones from Messi, even if you play the Depay as a false number nine, but that's where Messi likes to play. It's very complicated, and I'm like the boys. I'm not convinced about Depay at that club right now.
We are going right through the summer, of course. Gab and Jules lazy. This is our last podcast of the season. You can check that out now over on the website. La Liga, of course, kicks off its campaign on ESPN next month. Valencia against Getafe is the match on August 13th. And then on the Saturday, Alaves against Real Madrid. Sunday, Barcelona against Real Sociedad. Preceding that, Athletic kick off their defence of the title against Celta Vigo. All these games available on ESPN+. Nothing like a retirement to cheer you up, Craig. Iron Robin has officially retired from football at the age of 37. One of my favourite players to watch.
Good to know.
Well, no, you're allowed to be excited about it.
Where was he last year?
He went back to the Eredivisie, didn't he? Or went back to Holland to play for his childhood club.
Okay.
And then he.
What a wonderful guy.
I know, lovely.
I like that. Yeah, I like that.
It's a nice thing to do, isn't it? Jules, one of
the... Is that what you said, I'll go to him first?
Well, yeah.
I was going to say sod off.
Exactly. If I could go to Jules as opposed to coming to you afterwards and taking the wind out of my sails, I could just get you out the way first. Jules, one of the best wingers of his generation.
Oh, certainly in terms of trophies, of course. He won pretty much everything, everywhere. Big clubs, Chelsea, Real Madrid, of course, Bayern Munich. Maybe when he had his best years, although there were some low moments and a lot of injuries as well. But as a player, if you have a move named after you, it's because you must have done something pretty special during your career. And with Iron Robin, I think forever we will say, oh, he's done an Iron Robin. When a left-footed right winger will cut back and cut inside onto his left foot and then curl the ball, this is an Iron Robin. And I think if you have that, you can retire pretty happy.
He's got some great goals as well. He's just showing some of the Bundesliga here, Shaq.
About 1% of his goals were exactly the same. You can see them coming for about 3 minutes and absolutely nothing you could do about it. There it is. Then dig inside.
There you are.
There you go.
Oh, that's a different one.
Well, that's one in 10%. That's one in 10%.
That's against
90%,
the grain.
He would just run across the top of the box.
And then boom.
W a couple of defenders.
Yes.
Curled far post. You knew what was coming.
That'll be it.
And all you could do is just turn around and start walking back to the centre circle as soon as he picked it up.
Yeah. Next you're going to tell me it's Ronaldinho.
There you go.
It's Ronaldinho's birthday or something.
Oh, you love a Ronaldinho.
You know our boss? He's got something on Ronaldinho. I don't know what it is. But every time it's Ronaldinho's birthday, for some reason he appears on here and says it's Ronaldinho's birthday. Nobody cares, apart from our boss.
Hey, well, there you go.
And Ronaldinho. So well done, Iron Robin is retired. Right, move on.
Right, there we are. Who cares? Move on. Just a reminder, you can download our daily podcast.
We're not going on holiday.
We need a cake. Next retirement.
Where are you going?
I don't know yet.
Next retirement, we need a cake to cheer Craig up.
Cake? No.
Why would I want a cake?
A retirement cake, because you just need to cheer.
Anyway, you want to drop some timber as well.
Quick bit of transfer business, Jules. Hussein Aouar could be on the move to North London, but to which club?
Yes, that's right, Dan, because I was told today that Spurs are now also in the race to sign the Lyon playmaker. He's got only 1 year left on his contract with Lyon, so they've agreed to sell him for something very, very decent money. I mean, £25 million probably, bonuses included. So we know Arsenal were really keen. They were keen last season. They're still very interested and in discussions for now. But Spurs have now also entered the race. Tottenham, who wants a creative player to add to their roster, to their squad. So I think this could be easily a battle between the two clubs for Hussein Aouar.
Oh, which is the most appealing at the moment? They're both pretty rubbish.
I mean, you're right. I mean, one doesn't have any European competition next season. The other one has this new Conference Europa League thing. I think maybe it would be down to the feeling of, speaking to the managers, seeing the squads, the project over the next 4 or 5 years, where he feels that there's the biggest opportunity for him to, you know, to go to the next level, for example. It'd be interesting to see. There might be other English clubs that also come in, or Spanish clubs or Italian clubs, because I think at that price, he is a bargain. And at his age, with the potential that he has, he should be on the love top club shortlist. So it'd be interesting to see what happens in the next few days. But certainly between Arsenal and Spurs, you're right. I'm not sure who he would choose.
Juliana Ron, as always, thank you very much. Just to remind you, keep up to date with all the latest transfer news over on the website.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
And that's it. That brings us to the end of
the show. I bet those two are excited about it, aren't they? I'm excited. Gomez and Salazar.
I'm ready. Everyone who has been on. We'll be back tomorrow for more. Be sure to stay tuned. Extra Time is next. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you as always for your tweets. Both with ties on today, very smart.
Yeah, where's your tie? Where's your
tie? I don't have to wear a tie.
There's only one.
Yeah, why can't you wear a tie?
There's only one person letting the team down.
I don't see why we need a tie. It's quite a casual show, isn't it?
Is it?
Yeah.
Just tell everybody you don't know how to tie a tie.
Can you tie a tie?
You can, but not very well.
No, you can't.
There's not much you can do.
No, that's very true.
Quite honestly. I don't want to be harsh, but...
No, I think that's fair. That's okay. That's all right.
People take you shopping.
Yeah. Jules is with us as well. Jules, this is your last thing you do before you go on holiday.
That's right. I'm literally on holidays as soon as Extra Time is over. So I'm counting down the minutes, to be honest.
Hurry up. Stop talking about ties.
We
talking
have
about
700 questions. Jules, who's stopping Lionel Messi from winning the 2021 Ballon d'Or? I mean, seriously.
Ooh. No one.
Not Lewandowski, Jules. The boys want Lewandowski.
As much as Craig hates the Ballon d'Or, this is a conversation we need to have. Just as a reward for winning this Copa America and shining through it and taking this team to finally end the curse of 28 years without a trophy, his own curse of 15 years without a trophy with the national team. This is wonderful. This is beautiful. And just for that, and everything else he did in the season, but just for that, he deserves the Ballon d'Or again.
Cancelled last year's, didn't they?
Yes, yeah. They did, yes, because of COVID.
I thought Kante would...
It was a big blow, wasn't it?
I thought Kante was in poor position, but Messi's got it now.
What about Lewandowski?
No.
What do you care about?
No?
I care a lot.
Nah.
I care a lot about the Ballon d'Or.
Hey, guys, which
my
season...
My favourite thing.
Which season team would you really ever dream of playing for?
What was the question?
Which season team would you really... For example, I really would love to play for the Barcelona 2011 team and the Bayern 2013 team. Which would you like to play?
Bayern 2011. Barca 2011.
Yeah.
That's the best team I've seen.
Yeah, that was a bit special. Jules, for you?
I would play for the France 82, 84, 86 team because that was just... I would be in the middle with Platini and Giresse and Tigana and we would just be having fun all the time.
I think I would play for Liverpool in the 80s because they seem to have a jolly good time off the field from the stories that we have
heard. Liverpool in the 80s, yeah, that'd work.
Yeah, yeah.
With Nicol. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think that'd be fun, wouldn't it? For Craig, if Scotland played in the Gold Cup,
yep,
would they win it?
No. Don't know. Who's in it?
Well,
because Scotland have a history of losing to teams that they should never lose to, and hence that would be the Gold Cup.
Well, considering this year the US have fielded pretty much a C team, that's how Herc described it. I think Scotland.
They got a C team.
I think Scotland would beat the US, wouldn't they, Shaq?
No.
C team.
You do not think so?
Yeah.
Scotland always feel a C team.
Scotland should beat a US C team, whoever they are. I don't know. I'm not following the competition.
Yes.
Clearly. unlikely to. Either. Even if I'm bribed, I won't be watching it.
Right.
And Mexico not in it?
Yes, Mexico are in it. They feel the stronger side.
They always do, don't they?
Yes.
Yeah, they should be. So, yes. Yeah.
So the Gold Cup and Copa America, none.
Well, normally I'm all over the Copa America like a rash, but I was watching the Euros. What are you laughing?
I'll be honest with you, frankly,
in my lifetime I've never watched the Copa America. I'm not suggesting it's not a good tournament. I've just never watched it. As for the Gold Cup, there's not enough money in the world you can pay me to watch that trash.
For Jules, after Florentino Perez's latest exploits come into the light, and when he, of course, shamed Ronaldo, Raul, Mourinho, Casillas, is it wise for Mbappe to go to Real Madrid for free next season, or is it better for him to go to Liverpool or start at PSG?
He is squinting a little bit, isn't he? He's crazy.
Won't be long.
Mm-hmm. I don't think those tapes will if Kylian wants to go, I don't think that will put him off. You know, this was a long time ago for some of them. There was a context to it at the time. Still, I don't think Florentino Perez should have said some of the things that he had said publicly. But I don't think that will put off Kylian Mbappe to go there if that's what he wants to do. I still think that he's still thinking about what's the best. He is today at Marco Verratti's wedding. Unfortunately, I could not be there because of, you know, COVID, and because I'm going on holidays tomorrow. So,
and the lack of
invites. Marco.
And extra
Kylian
time.
Is there. Yes. And maybe while being there with Ibra and Pocho Lavezzi and all his current teammates, former teammates, maybe he can have a chat and think a bit more about staying at the club. This is the best thing for you to do, Kylian. Stay in Paris for all your career.
Did you have anyone famous at your wedding, Jules?
I had Gael Clichy, who was my best man.
Oh, wow. Very nice.
I that in a long time.
Okay.
Eh?
All right.
Wow.
Why would you?
Eh? No one
else. If I said to you, just off the cuff, who was Julian's best man? We'd be here all day.
Yeah, I know, but I wouldn't have gone for a former Arsenal player, would I?
Oh, well, obviously not. Man.
No, exactly. That's what I'm saying. I wouldn't guess that.
Well, I know. That's what I'm saying here.
Could have had Frank. Imagine Frank's best man speech.
Who was your best man?
My brother.
Oh. Nice one. Yeah. How was his speech?
it was good, actually. Was it? It was really good, yeah.
Never mind.
Did you shout it? Was it Kevin Hinchcliffe? Is that his
Hitchcock.
Name?
Hitchcock.
Hitchcock.
I didn't shout at him. The audience.
Right.
What would you call them? Family?
Friends?
What do you call those people out there?
The guests.
Who are you again?
Well, these people. So, yeah, Kevin Hitchcock, who's now the goalkeeping coach at the New England Revolution under Bruce Arena, was my best man.
What was the problem with the speech?
It just wasn't very good.
Oh.
Well, they tried to be funny. And he wasn't.
Oh.
So I had to bail him out.
How was Gael Clichy's speech, Jules?
It was very good, and he had to do it obviously in the two languages because Mrs. L being Welsh, you know, they had some English people there, English speaking, French speaking. So he did really well.
So he did it in Welsh as well.
Did he just say Mrs. L?
Yes.
Okay, all right. I thought it was me.
I'll tell you what else.
Oh, Mrs. L.
Hitchy was WhatsApping me all during the Euros.
Oh, really?
Come on, England, all the time. And then it went, funny enough, it went a little bit quiet. Until the day after the final, I went, come on, England! What could possibly go... Oh, oops.
Shaq, does Everton become more appealing to players than Arsenal right now? If you're a player, who would you pick between them?
Ooh, that's a very good question, you know. I don't know. I'd still go with Arsenal.
Yeah?
I'd still go with Arsenal. But I'd have to give it some thought.
Well, you didn't really give it that much thought, Shaq.
Man, they need to get their finger out.
Yeah.
Arsenal.
Jules, they're your team. When are they going to sort themselves out?
Well, I think keeping faith in the manager is a good thing to start with, and giving him season to improve the team, prove himself in a way is good. I think they're going to make some interesting signings, some young players that can add value to this squad. And I'm hoping really that without any option, which gives you time to work, and we've seen that with teams in the past, that when you only can focus on the Premier League and you have the whole week to prepare for your match at the weekend and don't have to travel for a game on a Saturday, on a Wednesday, on a Thursday, on a Tuesday, it helps you massively. So I'm hoping that we'll see a big improvement in this Arsenal team focusing only on the Premier League.
He'll be under pressure this year, won't he?
Yes, definitely.
That's it.
Yeah, money in
that
the
sort of, honeymoon.
Yeah.
Well, not saying it was a honeymoon from their perspective, but he did get a little, a little bit of leeway. Yeah. I mean, he was in some hot coals during the year when they went on that really bad run, but he got himself out of that pickle, to be fair, because he was under a fair amount of pressure with sort of around mid-season. I can't remember exactly when it was. But yeah, this is going to be a real big one for him. And can we just cut... Not too many more questions. I've got to get home for this Gold Cup.
Two more questions, don't worry.
When is it? Tonight, there must be a Gold Cup game tonight.
Yeah, the Cups are in action tonight.
Are they? Yep. Brilliant. What better way to pass an evening?
Did the return of...
Watching the USC team.
Did the return of Benzema create a rift between the French players, Jules, which ultimately led to a poor Euros? If he hadn't returned, maybe Giroud wouldn't have made the comment publicly, which created bad repercussions.
Yeah, that's a fair point. I don't think rift is the right word. Certainly, I think one of Deschamps' mistakes was to call him back so late. He could have done it in March, for example, for the friendlies, and that would have given far more time for everyone, including Benzema himself, to sort of settle himself into the squad and the dressing room. Instead, it was straight before the Euros, a bit of preparation, and then straight into the competition. I don't think that helped. Yeah, of course, there was a bit of tension. I think Griezmann, for example, thought there was far too much limelight on Benzema himself. Maybe the bromance between Mbappe and Benzema was a bit too much for other players as well. So yeah, there was a few issues on the back of him coming back and his return. I don't think that was purely the only reason why they felt that in the Euros.
What a bunch of softies.
Yes.
Griezmann thought there was a bit too much limelight, and one or two thought there was too much limelight. Of course there's going to be limelight. There's going to be a player coming back in after 5 years or whatever it is, in that form, for Euros. Here's the problem. They were 3-1 up against Switzerland, and they blew it.
Yeah.
Talk about, he didn't like him and he didn't like him. They were 3-1, they were cruising. Mm-hmm. They blew it.
Final question. Shaq and Craig, have you ever had any of your teammates complain about the design of your club's kits? No. Did you ever design?
Yes. Have you seen some of my kits?
Shaq, you have the most flamboyant.
That's one way to put it.
How much did you liaise with the designers?
None.
Did you have any say whatsoever?
Nope. No. Just showed up.
Are you bonkers?
Pre-season.
Are you right in the head? Do you know how footballers have got enough to worry about designing a kit?
Oh, my goodness.
I'll have you know I'm very design-oriented myself.
Well, what's happened to you now? Seen yourself in the mirror this morning?
Oh, dear.
Did that tie on the other day, by the way?
Right.
No, it didn't.
Yes, you did.
No, it didn't.
You did.
There you are.
I had a blue tie on Tuesday. It was blue.
Okay. What else do you have to worry about? You train for 90 minutes a day.
Sometimes they go on 90 minutes.
Yeah.
Cut that by 30. That's a long day.
Don't ask me about anything else.
That's very,
I'm far too busy.
So you're very generic throw out there because a game's 90 minutes. You think teams train for 90 minutes.
It's normally about a 90-minute session when I used to go to training.
How the hell do you know?
What? I used to go to training every day back in the day, didn't
where
I?
For who?
At Real Madrid.
Oh, Real Madrid?
Yes.
Like, you hang about like a little fanboy.
No, of course. Yeah. Yes,
Raul.
Exactly what I did.
Waiting
yes.
for Raul.
Yes.
No, he's sometimes when I. Yeah, like that. Excuse me, security, get us a bit of riffraff in here. Get him out. Get him out. You like that with your autograph book. Give me Mr. McManaman or whatever. Mr. Raul. Mr. Zidane. I think players will talk about kits when they come out, but they don't. You know, like Chelsea kit was one of the kits
no
was
input.
A sort of orange and grey.
Right.
Away kit looked a bit horrible.
Is that Coors? Were Coors?
Yeah, Coors were a beer. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. No, but were they the sponsors then?
Yes.
Was it Coors? Yeah. God, he's in a chippy mood. It's gonna be a long summer, Shaq.
It's not. I'm not coming in.
Thank God. Jules, take him on holiday with you. You, Craig, and Gail Clichy.
Listen, two weeks, son, you're on countdown. 2 weeks.
Oh, my God.
That's all you got.
ESPN FC, they will be back tomorrow. Craig's off.
Do you know when Jules goes on his holiday, Gab's going to turn up?
Oh, my God. Telling him everything that's wrong with the place that he chose.
Yeah. Just when you think you've got right, you can.